I feel a lot better knowing these folks aren't going to be behind me during the sermon this morning. But thank you, Miss Vicki. Thank all of our singers and those who shared with us. Didn't they do an excellent job this morning? We thank them. And Jonathan, thank you for planning this. And can't do it the normal way, but we appreciate you doing this. It's been a good time of being together and being able to worship our Lord. And they have reminded us that really the whole purpose of this season is in fact to worship and to celebrate our Lord. Could not help but think about the wise men, the magi, as we think about in Matthew chapter 2. And you think about their experience and their desire. We read in Matthew chapter 2, the latter part of verse 2, as they come and they speak to Herod, they say that we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then we drop down to verse 11. They, opening their treasures, it says, they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men, the magi, they came to worship, they worshiped. But what does that really mean? What does it really mean to worship our Lord? What is that? We talk about that a lot. We use that word a lot. But what does it really mean to worship? And as we look at these men, we find out what it means to have a heart of worship. For several weeks now, leading up to Christmas, we've been looking at the various Christmas characters, and we've been looking at their heart, what it was in their heart that enabled them, prepared them for the coming Messiah. And we see exactly what needs to be in our heart. We saw with Mary that there needs to be the foundation of faith. Mary had a believing heart. Then we built upon that, and we saw with Joseph that that faith has to be result in obedience. We saw an obedient heart. But this morning with the wise men, with the magi, we see a worshiping heart. And so look with me at Matthew chapter 2 as we look at verses 1 through 12 this morning. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' And after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." When we think about worshiping, and we seek to understand what it truly means to worship, and we've had a great opportunity to do this morning with this beautiful music and those who've shared. But what does it mean in the heart to worship? Well, as we look at this passage, we see that first of all, it means that number one, we seek Christ. And by the word seek, I don't mean just a half-hearted glance, just kind of a cursory look over, but a true desire of our heart to see him. Again, you look back at verses 1 through 2, very familiar to all of us, I realize this. But stop and think about it for a moment, what's actually taking place here. Verses 1 and 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Now stop and think for a moment. These men traveled several hundred miles. Remember, they actually arrived here there in Jerusalem several months after the birth of our Lord. I know when we have our nativity scenes, we always put the wise men there. And we do that because we kind of condense the story down, so to speak. But it was several months later. As you see in the passage, they actually arrive at a house, not the stable. But they had traveled several hundred miles. by animal at best, by foot possibly at times, if nothing else, just to relieve the saddle sores, but they traveled several hundred miles, a difficult journey. Why? Because they wanted to see Him. They wanted Him. That is the very heart of what worship means. A desire for the Lord, a desire to see Him, to know Him, to experience Him. There has to be that hungering, that desiring. And we see this throughout God's Word. You think of what we see in Psalm 27 and verse 8. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, O Lord, I shall seek." And you think about this. Obviously, this is written by David. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But a man who knew the Lord, a man who was close to the Lord. And yet, what was his desire? To know the Lord better, to be closer to Him. He sought the Lord. You think of what we see in Jeremiah 29, 13, the wonderful invitation that God gave the nation of Judah after they had been exiled because of their sin. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You think about what our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 33. Even in comparison to the problems or issues or needs or desires that we have in our life, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are you seeking the Lord this morning? We've come here, and we've had a wonderful morning. We've heard beautiful music. But if all we heard was beautiful music, we missed the point, and it never reached the level that it was supposed to have reached. In that, were you honestly seeking the Lord? This is a wonderful time of the year. I love this time of the year. I look forward to it every year. But if all we have is a fun time of the year, we've missed the whole point. We need to, in fact, be seeking the Lord. And it is that seeking, that desiring, that will make the difference whether we experience the Lord or just have a song service or just have yet another Christmas, whether we truly experience Him or not. We need to seek Christ. But then also notice number two, and it's been hinted at several times this morning, even mentioned and elaborated in Psalm, we value Christ. Now again, you know what took place. The Magi come, they appear before Herod, ask where this child has been born. Herod summons the religious misleaders, and they know the answer, but they don't have enough interest to go. The Magi, then the star reappears, and we don't have time to chase this. I know every year there's a whole lot of conjecture. You know, what is that star? What planet was it? There's a combination of planets. Understand that the word star, both in Greek and Hebrew, can elaborate and refer to any bright revelation. In fact, is this the same word that is used when you go over the book of Luke? You know, the angel of the Lord appeared, and what the glory of the Lord shone around him. Do not forget about the fact that our Lord Himself, you know, is called the bright and morning star. This was probably an angel, probably encompassed, if you will, the glory of God, that Shekinah glory, same word, that was over the tabernacle. But again, the star appears, probably an angel, and leads them there to where they were, leads them there to where Joseph and Mary and the child were. Notice what happens, verse 11, after coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And obviously through the years, Bible scholars, preachers, believers have tried to, you know, grasp what those three things represented or meant. All we can do is guess what they mean. Probably very good guesses, by the way. We think, and it stands to reason, that the gold represents our Lord as King, that the frankincense represented His deity, and the myrrh represented His humanity, and ultimately His sacrificial death for us. Now, you can't find a verse that makes that direct reference. Those are guesses, probably very good guesses. But what I want us to think about this morning is the cost of those. We don't have to do much guessing to think about gold, but frankincense and myrrh as well were extremely expensive. And you think about what that said about the Magi as they came. You know, why give expensive gifts like this? Well, the answer is obvious. Because the recipient was worth it. In fact, it is the recipient was worth more. You think with me, coming up on Christmas, and again, probably most of us are in this category. You think about some gift, you know, some special gift that you want to give that individual or those individuals. And, you know, you do all that you can, you know, sometimes do more than you should wisely. But why do you give those gifts like that? Because you think the recipient is worth it. In fact, it is the reality is, no matter how much it may cost, sometimes beyond wise reasoning, but no matter how much it may cost, the reality is the recipient in your heart is worth more than the cost of that gift. And it's the same with the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. Tremendously valuable substances, to be sure. But for them, the Messiah was worth more. I want to ask you, how much is he worth to you? How much is this Jesus Christ worth to you? You think about what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, as he looks back over his life and talked about all that he had going for him and how much it was worth on the human scale. And yet, look what we read in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. More than that, I count all things, and notice that very carefully, all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. You look at Paul's background, it's probably very financially affluent, certainly was very well respected, a man who had everything in his society and his culture looked up to, you know, one of the withets, if you will, okay? One of the up-and-comings, one of those who had everything. And yet, what did Paul say? Compared to Jesus Christ, those things are rubbish. The literal word there is the same word we would say for garbage, trash. They aren't worth anything. He is worth it all many times over. Is that Jesus Christ's value and worth for you? Is he worth more than anything? You know, we use that word worship. And again, we use it quite often. Do you know what the literal definition, or one of the literal definitions for the word worship is? Here's the literal definition: to assign value. In fact, it's a made-up word to be sure, but a good synonym for worship is worth-ship. He is worth everything. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, tremendously expensive, but for the Magi, the Christ child was worth that many times over. For Paul, he was worth more than everything else. In fact, in comparison to him, everything else was rubbish. Is that what Jesus Christ is for you? You want to change a worship service? You want to take a beautiful song service and really elevate it to a worship? You think about the value of the one that all these songs are about. You want to make this Christmas season really have power? You think about the value of the one whose birth we celebrate. You want your life to be revolutionized? You think about the value and the worth of this one whose birth we celebrate. We value Christ. We seek him. We value him. But look what else. We obey Christ. It's interesting, these Magi, when you look at who they are, these, you know, I know we sing We Three Kings, they weren't really kings. These men were actually what you would call the king makers. They're from the east, the old area of Persia, that whole area over there, Parthenon, that whole area over there. These were the men that you had to have their stamp of approval if you were going to rise up and be king. And without their support, you didn't go anywhere. Without their support, you didn't last. These weren't just kings. These were, in fact, the king makers. And that makes their action all the more interesting. These were the men who decided that someone would be king. These were the men who were decided if someone would remain king. These were the men who made the decision that everybody else is going to obey this guy. They were the ones kind of behind the scenes, so to speak. And yet you look at their actions. After coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. You think about what they said and what they're doing here. We're the ones who make kings. We're the ones who support kings. We're the ones who prop up kings. Kings don't rule or reign or stay very long on the throne without our support, but you know what? This one is our king, and we live to obey him. We are his subjects. He is our king. This morning, is that Jesus Christ your king? Have you placed your faith and your trust in him? Salvation is an act where we place our total dependence upon him, that he lived, died, and rose again for our sins. And part of that is a submitting of ourselves unto him, where we desire to live for him. These magi, their whole action and attitude was a recognition of Christ as king. Real worship results in obedience. Real worship carries the heart that I want to obey this one. If we can come here this morning and we can leave in disobedience unto our Lord, whether it's the issue of salvation or even as believers some area of our life, if we can leave in an attitude of disobedience, the reality is we haven't worshiped. No matter how much we may have enjoyed it, no matter how much our emotions may have been stirred, no matter how much we may have clapped or cried, whichever end of the spectrum we found ourselves on, but if we do not leave with a desire to obey, we really haven't worshiped. These men saw the Christ child and they worshiped. You think of what we read over in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You think about what we are to give our Lord, and that is obedience unto him. That comes out of that believing heart that we saw with Mary. And we saw this last week with Joseph. These wise men show that that's what true worship is. As beautiful as this music has been this morning, it has been. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you have. But if we don't leave with a desire to obey our Lord, all we've had is beautiful music. Is not worship until we're ready and hungry and desiring to obey. Whether in salvation, placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, as believers in our lives, as believers in that particular problem or situation we may be wrestling with this morning. We look at these wise men and they are the very epitome of those who worship. We've had a great time together, but only you can answer the question, have you truly worshiped? As you're going through this Christmas season, are you truly worshiping? Or could it be this morning that you need to wholeheartedly seek the Lord, that you need to value him, and that you need to seek to obey him? Let's go to him in prayer. Father, O Lord God, again, thank you, O God, for the wonderful gift of your Son. And Father, may we truly worship him. Father, may we seek him. value him, and, O Lord God, live in obedience unto him. Father, whether in salvation or the daily Christian life or that particular situation in our lives, may we truly worship you. Father, again, thank you for this morning, for those who've shared, but most of all, O God, for who you are. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.